Again, this is Vent's Day on the Exchange. We're talking about property taxes, whether it's time to change things, and also about prescription painkillers and whether new regulations are needed there, as the FDA has proposed. Phone numbers for you, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Exchange on Vent's Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
Say, I wanted to comment on taxes.
Please.
People, you have to be really careful with taxes. On a lot of things, I'm really pretty liberal, but when it comes to taxes, I'm pretty conservative. And I'll tell you why. I am a landlord, and my taxes here in Eugene go up almost every year.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't raised the rent on my tenants for probably 5 years. Because if I raise their rent just to cover the taxes increases over the last 5 years, it would be really hard for them to be able to afford to rent. You know, it just would be hard.
You do have a soft heart, don't you, Dennis?
Pardon?
You do have a soft heart, don't you?
Well, I try not to.
All right, but how does that affect your taxes if you don't raise their rent? I mean,
well, I mean, what happens is I'm paying more taxes than they are paying in rent to cover the taxes. Basically, what happens is that I can't go on forever not raising the rent to cover the tax bill,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, eventually, someday, I don't really want to ever have to do it because I have good tenants and they're nice people, and I think that their rent's fair. It's lower than most people would pay for the same comparable houses in Eugene, but sooner or later, I have to raise that rent, and so then it has an unintended consequence. It hurts someone who has just struggling to get by or has a family. And, you know, when you have a family, a young family, you're raising kids and stuff, you need every penny. You just don't have any extra pennies.
So the rental property you own then, did you own it back before the property taxes were capped both in rates and in assessments?
Some yes and some no.
All right. So on the ones that have been post-Measure 5, post-Measure 4750, have you noticed that those property tax rates certainly have leveled off over the years? I mean, the growth by year should be not that high, right?
Well, I'm here to tell you that if you raise your your rent $25,
mm-hmm.
say the taxes go up $25 or $10,
mm-hmm.
and which they pretty much do all the time, if you start raising your rent by $25 increments, pretty soon, your tenants, you know, they just can't afford it anymore. And what people don't realize is that there isn't a lot of upkeep. Like, we have nice houses that we rent, and we keep them up really nice. And so there's a lot of expense in just keeping up the property.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't expect our tenants to do their own landscaping or anything. We take care of all that and stuff. And so, you know, raising taxes, I don't know. I think that there's better ways of dealing with that kind of stuff.
All right. So, you're okay with the system as it currently exists?
Yeah, I'm not okay with it either, but
all right, but not willing to consider.
I don't think that any of our tax systems are working right anymore. I think that the people who are extremely wealthy are really getting off scot-free, and the people who are middle class or lower middle class are really struggling.
All right. Well, that's one of the signs that was pointed out in this report from the City Club of Portland. Dennis, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate it. Good to have you here on Vent's Day again. You can join us on the Exchange. This is Vent's Day, your chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news. This week's topics, property taxes, Oregon or California. Time for an overhaul, time for a tweak, time to just say, nope, we're leaving them alone. And the other topic, prescription painkillers and how those should be regulated now that the FDA is talking about taking some of the accommodations, some of the opioids, up to Schedule 2, which means they're more strictly regulated. Join us on The Exchange with your thoughts at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. The piece, there was an opinion piece that ran in the Medford paper this week, the Mail Tribune. Chris Fick from the League of Oregon Cities put it in there. He was our guest talking about property taxes just after Christmas last year. League of Oregon Cities was planning to go to the legislature this year to talk about some proposed changes in property taxes and never did actually make that set of proposals. But the things that Chris Fick from the League of Oregon Cities listed as facts in his opinion piece is that Oregon ranks in the bottom half nationally when it comes to property taxes per capita. Fact number two, most property tax revenue supports local schools and local public safety services. Fact three, Oregonians pay more per capita in state income taxes than they do in property taxes. That's not a huge surprise, given that income tax rates have remained about the same. Property tax rates and assessments have gone down. But then he gets to fact number four, and he says the property tax system is simply not fair. As an example, he says, several months ago, two homes sold in Medford for about $235,000. One will pay $4,272 in property taxes this year, the other $2,279, a difference of nearly $2,000 or $167 a month. Why such a large disparity? A ballot initiative in the mid-1990s, that would be 47, and then later Measure 50, locked in assessed or taxable value largely based on property's 1995 real market value. But since values have grown at dramatically different rates since then, the tax bills for identically valued properties are now out of whack. Many property owners essentially subsidize the services provided for others, while the different tax bills manipulate the housing market to favor areas that had lower values in the mid-1990s. So that's one complaint about the property tax system in Oregon as it currently exists from Chris Fick of the League of Oregon Cities. And the measure that they were talking about taking to the legislature for consideration, and again, didn't get anywhere, was the idea that at least the assessment, the assessed value of the house, would revert to the real market value upon the sale of the property, which would help out the local districts because then they'd have more highly valued property on the rolls as sales went through. So they wouldn't perpetually have all these places that have gone unsold over the years still stuck at the 1995 plus the rate of growth value. What do you think? Time to change property taxes? Leave well enough alone? Or move on to something better? What do you say? And the other topic, of course, prescription painkillers, how those should be regulated. Numbers again on Vents Day, 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in the listening area. Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Email address, jx@jeffnet.org. John and Eugene, welcome to The Exchange.
Hi. So I guess I'm going to vent on the property tax thing and just add to what Dennis said.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to be a landlord, too, and most of my tenants don't make as much money as the people who the property taxes support. You hear it all the time. We need to raise taxes because cost of benefits and retirement has increased faster than the property tax revenue. But my understanding in Springfield is the average municipal person makes about three times as much. This was from Stu Burge a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
As the average resident. And so I feel, so I do the same thing. I don't raise my rents until somebody leaves. And if they stay for a long time, it really does start to cut into what you could be making on the property. But so I guess it's, how do I fix it? I certainly would try to find some other level of stool, and I shouldn't say it loud. I would go to the sales tax or something, but always going to the property tax is tough on the people who can least afford it. And then one last quick aside, a friend of mine got his house from his parents, and it happens to be a really nice house, but he's not a rich person, and their taxes are $7,000 a year. It's down in the university area.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to sell their house because they just don't have the kind of income to support that. And it's been a family home for a long time, and it's kind of sad that it goes up a little, and so they're going to sell their house.
Well, you know, it's interesting on a couple levels. Number one, I didn't ask this of Dennis, and I will ask it of you and about the friend whose story you're talking about. Do you own the houses outright, so you're not paying mortgages? That's why.
Yes, yep, they both own them. I own mine outright, and he owns his outright.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's actually got a business loan against the house. So,
all All right. Then the reason I ask this is because these are a lot of the same stories. I'm sure you remember, John. I know you lived in Oregon a long time yourself, that these are the stories we're hearing before Measure 5. You know, that people had to get out of their homes or they had to sell the family home because they couldn't afford the property taxes anymore, even though we have the rate limits of Measure 5 and the assessment caps of Measures 47 and 50. We're still hearing these stories about property taxes forcing people to sell family homes.
Yeah. It's almost as if time has continued to go on.
Yes, indeed.
Right. Thanks a lot.
All right, good to talk to you. This is was John and Eugene. Let's go to Kevin and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking property taxes and prescription painkillers.
Morning. Good morning. Unlike the previous callers, live just outside Eugene, so, and my taxes really haven't changed a whole lot in the last about 10 years, good part to the measures you mentioned. In the city, of course, there are more bond measures that they have voted in that would influence those taxes, I don't doubt. I think as far as have fairness in taxation for all, I certainly think that the a sales tax would be the ideal, and that, of course, has been talked about a lot. I would hope that if the governor Kitzhoff goes for another term, he would maybe focus on that. I think he's even said that that's one issue that is probably a paramount in the state. So, but for me, as far as, again, taxes, between what I have primarily is land, and there are some deferments associated with that. So for me, I have no complaints really about the property taxes I pay, but would be certainly willing to make it more equal for everybody and more efficient system if we did go with the sales tax.
All right, so sales tax under consideration. You're the first person to bring it up today. Kevin, thanks for that. Appreciate it. We are talking about property taxes and prescription painkillers and whether either of those systems, the property tax system in either Oregon or California, needs to change. And the FDA is proposing new rules for prescription painkillers to make it harder for those to get around. Lots of people on prescription painkillers. They are highly addictive. Doctors forming their own committees, as they have in Jackson County, to deal with the issue. What do you think should be done on either one of these issues? Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. The property tax thing gets really interesting on so many levels because essentially what happens is that in both Oregon and California, as your property value increased for nothing you did to your own property, simply by similar properties nearby or in the same town selling for more, it drove your property values up. And in the process, what happened was people began getting priced out of the market in property taxes. Hence the passage of Prop 13 in California in 1978. Hence the passage of Ballot Measure 5, which capped the rates in Oregon as of 1990, and then in the mid-90s, Measure 47, which had to be cleaned up by Measure 50, which took the assessments back to 1995 levels and said, now these can only grow by 3% a year. That's why in Oregon you have the two different figures, the assessed value for your taxes and the real market value. And in most cases, the real market value is going to be much higher than the assessed value upon which the taxes are based. Now, assuming the real market value stays above that assessed value can still rise by 3% a year. Is that, and here again, how long is it taking me to explain this? Between three ballot measures and rates and assessments and growth thereof, this was one of the complaints about that report that was put out by the City Club of Portland last week, that it's a Franken-tax. It's a system nobody clearly understands. But for that matter, how well do we understand as well the income tax for both states? And in California's case, the sales tax, and of course, the California folks probably are just chuckling at the folks in Oregon, still talking about a sales tax that they've never had. I mean, how do you balance out a system and make it so clear that everybody knows exactly up front what life is going to cost them, basically? Is that what we need to be shooting for? Join us on the exchange on Vents Day, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Steve in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Howdy. I thought it was interesting that Dennis talked about unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
When Bill Sizemore...
Sizemore.
Well, I call it like I see it.
All right, that's his real name, though. He was the guy who put Measure 47 in place.
Measure 5.
No, that was Don McIntyre. That was Don McIntyre.
The giant selling point was homeowners' relief, and after it passed, the people that really reaped the benefit of that tax were the big corporations in Oregon, the Weyerhaeusers, and the especially the timber industry that owned large tracts of land, and they made out like bandits. Meanwhile, in Eugene, we got a jail with a revolving door. We've got schools that have had to drop their music programs or art programs or many of the humanities because they're trying to compete with the technology coming from other countries and still doing a pretty poor job of that and laying off teachers and getting bigger class sizes. We've got roads that, bridges that, you know, are badly needing repair that we don't, and schools that we don't have the money for. And the whole state has gone to hell in a handbasket, and that's one of the unintended consequences that we're currently dealing with. A income tax is a totally unreliable source of steady, you know, income for things that have to be steady and have to be planned ahead, like schools and roads and jails. And Tanspaffel, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, and it's about time somebody realized that.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. He brings up an excellent point, which is that with the passage of Ballot Measure 5, essentially the voters were saying to the state, okay, we're not going to pay that much in school property taxes anymore. You, the state of Oregon, need to fund the schools more than you did in the past. That's what led to things like less money available for state police, less money available for parks, less money available for public higher education. A lot of that whole process began with Ballot Measure 5 because there was no provision for new revenue under Measure 5. It cut the property tax rates, but didn't create any new revenue anyplace else. I remember talking to Don McIntyre when he was pushing this measure and said, where's the money going to come from? And he said, we're going to grow into it. You know, the property tax rates will ratchet down over the course of the 5 years in which Measure 5 is first implemented. And they did. They started at $15 per thousand and got down to $5. But the fact is that there was never new money provided for in Ballot Measure 5. State, schools, cities all had to do with the existing money out there and not levy any new stuff. Excellent point for Steve to bring up. Here's Mark in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Yes, I would like to see property taxes abolished for middle-class homeowners, particularly because we're in a state of regulatory capture, meaning large multinationals essentially use lobbyists to take over the regulatory process, including tax regulation. And you can just see nationwide, stock market has doubled under Obama, and meanwhile, the local economies in Oregon and elsewhere are stagnant.
And so, Mark, when you say abolish for the middle class on down, or just the middle class, would the lower class still pay property taxes?
Well, I mean, yeah, and a lot of the lower class people don't own homes, but yes, from the middle class on down. And, mm-hmm. you know, even the former IMF chief economist Simon Johnson has said Wall Street, the six largest banks, have, quote-unquote, captured the state and have the power to extort money from government. And you can find a link to that at standupforyourrights.me. So in order to protect ourselves from things like, you know, the middle-class tax that we're seeing now as a result of the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, that's going to be destructive to the middle class. We need to protect our private property rights and abolish property taxes for middle and lower-income people.
Okay, hear you loud and clear. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Tawasi in Glenwood, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you. What you mentioned about not really understanding the tax system is really why I'm calling, because I don't understand it. It seems to me like what you're saying is that when a house sells, it gets evaluated for the value then.
No, it does not at this point. That's the whole point, is that, for example, a new home is built and they decide the real market value is X. That's going to be the assessed value, too. And then the assessed value and the real market value can move apart as time goes on. But I said it badly right off the top. Basically, all property in Oregon was assessed at their was rolled back to its 1995 levels with the Measure 47 assessments and couldn't increase in its tax assessed value by more than 3% a year. So even if the value of the property increased 15% a year for 3 years, it's still only going to grow in assessed value for 3% a year.
Well, so here's the way that, I mean, it really talks to the, I'm speaking to the point of the previous caller, because I notice everywhere I go all these for sale signs, and it seems like the property is probably more owned by institutions than guys calling into the Jefferson Exchange. And my guess is there's more Oregonians out there that don't own property, and there's more property owned out there by institutions. So it seems like there should be a real citizen rate that taxes people and an institutional rate that taxes institutions, because a lot of these institutions aren't benefiting the state at any level.
Right,
they hire people at horrible rates of pay and then don't pay into the tax system by taking special exemptions.
All right, Tawasi, what you're talking about is a split roll tax, which is something that the protesters in California have talked about doing, which would mean that commercial property and residential property would be taxed at different paths. That's what the split roll tax would do, and I think that's what we're getting onto here. Tawasi, thank you for the call. I'm going to say apologies to Ron and Eugene and Mark and Ashland. We're out of time. And to Joe, didn't get a chance to read your email. Thanks for calling and taking part in Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Thank you.